Welcome to Wheel to Wheel, the premier Formula One podcast by 2 5'7" and 5'2" ladies who know medium to nothing about Formula One.
In this special feature episode, we're diving deep into Gene Haas' scandalous past and an attempt to steal over $25 million from the government in a conspiracy involving witness intimidation, a disgruntled employee, and 24 months in federal prison.
Ooh.
I'm Zaylee.
And I'm Maya.
Lights out and away we go.
Are you 5'2"? I just said that.
I like to say I'm 5'2". I'm probably 5'1".
Oh, wow.
Or maybe I'm 5'3".
You're not 5'3".
I'm kind of exposing how much I don't go to the doctor.
Yeah. I just went to the doctor and they said I was 5'7", so confirmed. But dope. I feel like I've gotten taller. Which is probably...
In your mind?
Yeah, I don't know. I just have tall person...
Energy?
Vibes, yeah.
I've been told that people are shocked at how short I am when they meet me.
That's a compliment. I think that's a compliment.
I don't think it is.
Why not?
Because short people can have personalities too. And I find it rude. Just because I need
community?
To represent... Yeah, for my community.
To your people.
I don't believe in personality traits being connected to height.
Okay. Just tell that to any man on
letting the world
app.
Know. I am discriminatory when it comes to male heights, though.
You are. And as am I. Ish.
I've already, you know my theory, but these people don't. So that's why they're going to hear this, Maya.
Mm-hmm.
Maya's already heard this a million times. I think that height has less of an effect on women than it does on men. Mm-hmm. And that is why I would love to procreate with a tall man. It sounds bad to
because
say out loud. Because I want to have, if I have a son,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, someone who identifies as a man,
mm-hmm.
I would like for him to not have to deal
with the anguish
of being a short man.
I agree that it has more effect on the short men than it does on women completely. Because I've also seen so many relationships. Like, everyone's like, oh, height matters. Like, sometimes, but I've also seen so many kinds of relationships where people are just differing height. Like, it doesn't actually matter that much. But I think to the men, they carry something in them that it matters.
Yeah.
More.
Do you ever see male friend groups where there are short and tall? Like, there's
mixed
no diversity.
Height.
No. It's usually, like, tall men hang together, short men hang together. Right?
I don't know. I've seen mixed height groupings, yeah. Of men.
Hmm.
But anyway, we should look up how tall Gene Haas is.
That's actually a great point.
Because it might give us some insight into this.
Gene Haas is 5'6".
Oh.
I don't know what that tells you about the story we're about to tell.
Does it
prove my point or does it?
I need a lineup of other team principals.
Toto's huge.
Toto is really tall.
Toto's huge.
So as most of you will know, Gene Haas is the owner of Haas Racing.
Yeah. Not to be confused with this other team called Haas back in 1975. Gene Haas just happens to have the same name as another team owner who owned a team called Haas, but mm-hmm. like back in the 70s. Which, did he choose to come into the sport because of that?
I don't know. He wanted to redo the name.
Yeah, I don't know. Strange. But he came into F1. They made their debut in 2016.
Yeah.
And before that, he was into NASCAR.
Yes, and he has a successful NASCAR team. Yeah,
yeah,
they've won championships.
Yeah, three.
Which is pretty impressive.
And before that, we're just working backwards through his history.
Before that, he was a young lad born in Youngstown, Ohio. He moved to LA. He was into engineering and mechanics and
yeah.
all of the things with numbers and robots and whatever.
Yeah. And his claim to, I was going to say claim to fame, but his claim to money.
Right.
How he made all his money is by basically inventing a new process for automated control of machining tools,
yeah.
which is as nerdy as you can get.
I guess. It became the
largest machine tool builder
in the Western hemisphere. Like, I think there was something about him making
in the Western world.
Yeah. The largest machine tool builder in the Western world, which
yeah.
is crazy.
Kind of offensive to call something the Western world.
I know. Right. Because what does that mean? Who cares?
It's the opposite of the quote unquote global South.
Uh-huh.
But that's a different podcast.
That's the After Hours podcast.
Yeah.
So he becomes a millionaire.
Uh-huh.
And is quite successful with his NASCAR team.
In 2006, for context, President Bush, which just takes me back. That's like a whole nother world we were living in when Bush was president.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means to people who are listening not from America. But to give you a sense of when the story is happening, it's like pre-Bush, around those times. But Bush cited Haas's automation success as a reason to adopt a free trade agreement, blah, blah, blah. Point is, it was a huge company. Like Haas, right. Without Formula One, without NASCAR.
He was doing well. And before, it's so interesting because I feel like us talking about this, I'm thinking so much about him now. But back in the Dizay, there was drama. And this is what we're talking about in this podcast.
Mans went to jail.
He went to jail, which, did you know that?
No.
When did you find that out?
Someone mentioned it in another podcast I was listening to. They didn't go into it. They were just like, did you know Haas went to jail? And I just filed it away as all these, there are all these Formula One freaking crazy freaking facts.
Yeah.
That... just, I don't know if because there are so many new fans to the sport, there are some things that are just common knowledge and new fans coming into
it. I think that's exactly what it is. There's like this treasure chest of knowledge that people are like, oh, you didn't know that?
Yeah. And as a new fan, I think we have the joy of rediscovering all these things.
Yeah. It's really fun.
Yeah.
We have the joy of rediscovering a man went to jail for 2 years, but it was his fault. Right.
The joy of rediscovering.
The
such
joy of incarceration.
Amazing...
We're anti-incarceration, by the way, guys. Well,
yeah,
I am.
Totally, yeah. Anti.
Totally. Anti-incarceration. Yeah. Yes.
Abolish prison. For real, though.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the scandal.
Yeah.
It all starts with a little bit of a betrayal of sorts.
A bit of a betrayal of sorts. First things first, Haas gets into a business war with another company. Way back in like 2000 or 2001. And they get sued because it's a patent dispute. We created this. No, we created this. And the American government rules in favor of the other company.
Herco. Companies.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Not Haas. And so Haas has to pay $8.9 million. And this makes him so mad.
He's livid.
He considers he has a chip on his shoulder now. And he wants to get the American government back for what they've done to him.
He was like, this money was rightfully mine.
Yes.
And so I will not stand to lose it.
Yeah.
In this patent dispute.
Pull up the quote, Maya. What exactly did... So, and then there's an employee called John Phillips. He's the chief financial officer at Haas at the time. And Haas tells Phillips, the CFO, the chief financial officer, he's going to get back his $8.9 million, like come hell or high water. No, that's not a direct quote, but he says as punishment by writing off his tax debt.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm about to steal my money back, my $8.9 million back.
It's
the
so
government
deliberate.
Owes me. It's so
deliberate and like clear cut. Like, I'm going to steal that back.
Yeah. It's interesting. He's such a fierce competitor. I feel like in business, I would kind of let that go. If I'm this wealthy at this point, $8.9 million, I can't let that go now.
No.
But I imagine if I'm owning this, you know, huge factory that's making all these tools and I'm one of the biggest, what is it? Automated machine.
CNC.
Whatever. I feel like at that point, I'd be like, all right, I lost a patent suit. I wouldn't carry this chip on my shoulder.
Me neither. But I think he thinks that the money... I don't know. It just gives white male CEO of like, well,
I deserve it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It was my idea. The patent. Maybe he probably thought the patent thing didn't even go in his favor. He probably thought that ruling was like not true.
Yeah.
And so what he does, and this is so fascinating because me and Zaylee were up last night trying to figure out how to explain this because we really don't know that much about.
Yeah.
What is this for? What are we? Yeah. About?
Tax fraud.
Yes. Tax fraud.
You know? What's the word for
the
what
tax
he did?
Fraud. So basically he had companies buy things from him. Fake.
Fake companies.
Fake companies make fake purchases for
them. Yeah. He gets three other people involved, three other business owners who are willing to help him in this journey of recouping this money.
Yes. Because they get something out of it.
Right.
So he issues checks for these false purchases.
Mm-hmm.
And the other companies were refunding him the money.
Yeah.
And they would get a slice of...
2%.
Then they would take that money, right? And put it into
a subsidiary account, some separate account that's owned by Haas.
It's a shell company.
It's a shell company.
Yeah.
And they put all the money back in it and they take their cut, 2%.
And they get a little piece of 2% of the, they get a little piece of the pie.
Yeah.
So it's a, there's moving parts to it, but that's, I'm trying to think if there's another way to explain
it. I'm going
to
attempt to give like a metaphor, an example of what this would be.
I'm excited.
I'm Jean Haas. I'm pissed as hell at the government.
I'm pissed.
Yeah. And I'm about to start doing tax fraud. So I open up a shell company called Wheel to Wheel Pod. And I'm like, Maya, here's what I need you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Buy my Formula One jackets, which don't exist. I'm creating
new merch,
but they don't exist. And I'm like, I'm going to sell you this jacket for $1 million. The jacket is fraudulent. It doesn't exist.
Right.
But I want to steal tax money. Yeah, you know that too.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, bitch, I'm in on the scam.
Then I pay you the $1 million.
No. I pay you. Okay, starting all over.
Bruv.
We literally couldn't be worse criminals.
I don't know.
So Maya has a fake jacket. Maya has a fake jacket that she pretends to sell me for $1 million. She gives me a jacket that doesn't exist, and I give her a check for $1 million. And we both agree to cook the books, to write fake invoices and receipts for a purchase that never really happened. I give Maya $1 million for this jacket that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And Maya's like, thank you very much. And she deposits the money as a private business owner into, she gives it to this subsidiary company called Wheel to Wheel Pod, which the government doesn't know is also owned by me. So I've given her $1 million. She takes her cut, $20,000. She gets right off the top for doing the
deed. Which is nothing, by the way.
Nothing. And then she puts $980,000 in this account, which is owned by me. And what this allows me to do is when I'm writing my taxes for the year to the IRS, I'm saying that I bought more things, that I had less profit than I actually did for the year. Because I'm like, I spent $1 million on this jacket.
And therefore you get taxed less.
And therefore I get taxed less. This man wrote he did this for $25 million worth of money.
That's a lot of money.
It's so much money.
It's certainly not an amount that is unnoticeable.
Yeah. But it all comes crashing down.
It all comes crashing down because of a little...
A disgruntled employee. Let's pause.
Yeah.
Just because, isn't it interesting how disgruntled employees in F1 always get everybody in trouble?
Yeah. I mean, I love a good whistleblower. Whistleblowers are so funny to me and also so interesting. And I could write a book about whistleblowers and the role they have in society, but low key, they'd be pulling the cover off of like all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
You'd be like, really?
What's crazy is that it's so interpersonal.
Yeah.
Like they usually are doing like societal good, but it doesn't come from a place of, I think, morality. It usually comes from a place of like, oh, really? Like interpersonal dispute that goes wrong. And then they're like, I'm blowing the whistle on this thing. You know what?
Which was the case with this exact situation.
Yeah.
They got into, was John Phillips fired? Was that what happened?
So John Phillips, interesting context. This all of the stealing was happening in 2000, circa 2001.
Yeah. Really early.
Mans doesn't blow the whistle until like 5 years later, which is crazy.
The person who blew the whistle was the former chief financial officer.
Yeah,
so
John Phillips.
So he had a very big role in oversight in terms of what was happening with the money.
Yeah.
But they had a dispute or something like that.
Something went wrong. Something clearly went wrong because John Phillips in around 2006 or 7 goes to the IRS and he's like, Mans is stealing money. So once he whistleblows, Haas goes to John. Haas
and
sues
he loses
John,
the loss.
John Phillips.
Yeah.
And they sue him because they know the government is coming after them at this point. Or maybe they don't know, but they just knew that the man was beefing. And they knew the man was about to start making trouble.
They released like a public statement like, we completely, you know, denounce this and it's all hearsay and defamation.
Yeah.
And
they literally
whatever.
Blame it all on the CFO.
Yeah.
They're like, this has nothing to do with us as a company. It has to do with John Phillips. And they sue John Phillips and they win the lawsuit.
Yeah.
John Phillips owes them $27.5 million. But I guess John Phillips was like, you know what? That's okay because my time in court is coming.
Yeah.
Because I went to the feds about you.
And it triggers, obviously, an an obvious investigation that proves to be fruitful. Like, they actually find that he evaded millions of dollars in taxes, paying millions of dollars in taxes.
And after the IRS investigates him on June 19th, 2006, Haas is arrested for filing false tax returns, witness intimidation.
That is that's the biggest piece of like tea of this entire thing.
He's like, I will hurt you.
Yeah, to people involved. Yeah. But wait, we have like the little love story possibly happening in this entire thing, which is that there was a private investigator that Gene Haas
hired
to intimidate people. I don't know, like go out. Yeah. And this private investigator interacted with an associate of John Phillips who worked in a flower shop.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. Mm-hmm. And at first the associate like came forward about this private investigator, but then recanted their statement.
She recanted the statement because her and the private investigator had
developed a personal relationship.
They had fallen in love. I think conspiracy theory loading. I think that the private investigator, Gene Haas and the private investigator, you were like, you know what? This woman works in a flower shop. She don't get much
play. She's lonely.
Yeah, she's lonely. Seduce her and she will recant her statement.
Which I was telling Zilly is like the number one TV spy trope have sex with somebody and steal the secrets, or have sex and convince, you know, some kind of seduction element. It's very James Bond.
I can't believe they did that to her.
I want to know who this private investigator is, if he's suave, if he's sexy.
Yeah, word. I wonder if they stayed together. Like, is it true love? There's no way. No. They have to have broken up after
this
trial.
She went back to the flower shop.
Oh, my God. Poor lady.
So he ends up being convicted. So at first he pleads not guilty. Is that right?
I don't know if he pleads not guilty, but he definitely is held without bail at first because he's considered a flight risk. Man has a private jet.
Yeah.
He has connections in China.
And then he pays a $10 million bond with...
Could you imagine?
No. But he had to turn in his passport.
Yeah.
And then his lawyers are like, well, like, this is all based on hearsay, the fact that he's a flight risk and conjecture, and it's not actually true.
So Mans goes to trial. He admits to even more fraud than he, like, originally
admitted
to. Yeah, I was
going to say, there was, like, an extra bonus of things happening there.
Yeah.
And four other people were also indicted. No. And did they also?
Yeah. Three or four other people, the people who got involved.
All of them all of them pleaded guilty.
Yeah. So what does he get? What's
his sentence?
His sentence. Yeah.
2 years in prison. Federal prison. And then he has to pay $75 million in restitution.
$75 million. Could you imagine?
No, I can't imagine having that much money. Yeah.
He paid the government more than twice the amount of taxes that he attempted to avoid paying.
Yep. And then so he goes to Lompoc prison. And he spends almost a year there before being transferred to a halfway house. Because I think they were like, he's not, you know, he's a good guy.
They argued that he needed to go to rehab, but it's like, you've been in prison for a year. You're already
dried
out.
That is
rehab. Yeah. Unless he was somehow getting alcohol in Lompoc prison, which...
They do have hooch. That's literally hooch is...
Really?
Yeah. You ever see... Oh, you don't watch the kind of TV I watch, guys. I won't even begin.
I'd be seeing TikToks of people in jail and I'm like, how is this...
They make hooch, prison wine, like toilet wine.
Bro.
But who knows what he was doing?
I used to listen to this podcast about stories of people who were in prison, and they one time had like a cook-off of prisoners.
Do you see the TikToks that it's like prison recipes? Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, fully people who used to come, formerly incarcerated people will be like, this is how I made a grilled cheese in prison. This is how I made cheesecake in prison. This is how, and people will try the recipes.
Prison is actually a crime against humanity.
It is, yeah.
I was watching a GQ video about a psychiatrist breaking down.
Yes,
like,
the breakdown.
The breaking down scenes of, I don't know, movies.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how 5 days in solitary confinement can, no, 15 days of solitary confinement can literally change your brain irrevocably.
Yeah, that's
and
so sad.
And like after a couple days, you're likely to start hallucinating and having delusions. And people they put people in solitary confinement for 30 days at a time. Like, people are not okay.
No, it's sick.
Anyway.
So, you know, he ends up, he gets out of prison, right? Yeah, he goes to the rehab.
Halfway house. And his image is instantly rehabilitated.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And years later, he's joining Formula One as like an American in the sport, which is rare. We were talking about this. A bunch of other American companies have tried to succeed in the sport and really haven't gone the distance. And he kind of has.
And
so it's impressive.
I know that there's a book coming out about the Rich Energy scandal that Haas was also involved in.
Yeah.
Like, they always have these shady deals. Uracali.
Yes, Uracali, yeah. It's the fertilizer.
Like, it's just interesting that Haas is, I don't know. This story is enlightening is all I'm saying.
It is enlightening because I think there's a huge range of, I think there's a part of Formula One that feels super buttoned up and a lot of the team principals have to have it together. And then there's a part of it that feels a little bit grittier and
shady.
Yeah, a little shady. And I think it's also inevitable when it comes to this amount of money.
Yeah.
Like even Toto was recently investigated for insider trading and Lance Stroll.
Yeah.
Like when you're dealing with this amount of money, I don't know, people's hands get slippery. I just can't describe it. It's fascinating.
Lance Stroll's father.
Yes.
Lawrence Stroll.
Did I say Lance?
Yeah.
My bad.
Is his father's name Lawrence
Stroll?
Yeah,
I think it is Lawrence Stroll.
Yeah, people be, even, remember that? And then the person that they bought that team from, Air Force India, that went to
Force
funk.
Force India?
Sorry.
Force India?
Can you tell him from Brooklyn?
Air Force India.
Just a lot of shady stuff going on.
And I'm sure more things will come to light in the future, too, to be quite honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't wait for the next big scandal. But Gene Haas seems to be doing very well. He doesn't seem to be struggling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Life seems good.
I wonder how shiesty he is as a person. Just going back to the story that's like, this all comes from the fact that he blamed the government for this $9 million lawsuit that he lost. I wonder if he is still kind of that character that holds grudges. You know, did he go to therapy and go through an intense rehabilitation, or was he just kind of, did it make him even stronger and even more hardened and even more, you know what I mean?
Prison changes you, Zaley. I don't know. But I do wonder how this attitude influences the team dynamic and influences how Haas races, how Haas operates.
Yeah.
The kind of team principal. Which is Gunter Steiner. Yeah, I was going to say.
Him and Gene seem close.
They do. And I feel like I read somewhere that he was Gene, that Gunter was a surprising choice. Like people were like, Gunter? Like when he hired him. So I don't know what that relationship is or what made him take that leap. But
You also, as part of the research, we were talking about how Haas entered the sport.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. I didn't know. You have to, first of all, and this is probably obvious, you have to have so much money in order to enter the sport. And one of the options that Gene Haas had was to just buy a team. That's something that happens kind of, we've seen it already kind of frequently. But when you buy a Formula One team, you have to immediately start to like adhere to the standards of FIA things just in terms of testing and development. But when you start from scratch, there's a period in which you kind of can do what you want. And you're not, you're just not liable to what the FIA says. So he decided to start from scratch, which I feel like is kind of interesting.
Yeah. He doesn't like oversight, this guy.
Yeah, he doesn't like oversight. Yeah. He doesn't like hands in the pie or the pot or whatever.
Yeah.
He was just like, we're going to do it our way, which I think is infinitely harder.
Yeah.
The other thing that I read, too, was that he kind of, because of his NASCAR experience, he kind of already had engineers that were, like, familiar with this. It wasn't like he was going in blind, so he had that support.
He's one of, to me, just in researching this story and trying to find out more about him, I was like, oh, I'm surprised that there's not more. I'm surprised that there's not, you know, pictures and videos. He is just an extremely private
person.
He seems really private.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We can only wonder.
We can only wonder.
But the internet does have this height, so. But Zaley, you wanted to play a little game to round us out. What was it?
It's game time.
Game time.
I wanted to play a game of, since we're talking about money anyway.
No, wait, we didn't even bring up Lewis Hamilton's thing, clip.
So earlier this week, or literally today, the other day, black people say, for those who don't know,
so
black
true.
People in America, we say the other day for literally
any
anything.
Day.
It could have been 4 years ago. It could have been a couple hours ago. It'd be like, yo, the other day. Anyways, the other day, I sent Maya this post of Lewis Hamilton getting asked this question. They were like, France tossed recently said that no driver salary should be capped at $10 million and people should basically be grateful to be driving in this sport. And they asked Lewis Hamilton, like, what's your opinion on that? And Lewis was like, who is France tossed? And the guy asked him the question was like, literally he paused.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. The guy was like,
it was like, Will Buxton, right?
Yeah. No. It wasn't Never Will mind. Buxton. It was the guy who was always hosting. I know.
Who is that voice?
I'm not going to say he's sexy, but he's endearing.
His voice is a little sexy to me, to be honest with you.
It was in a press conference. Anyway, Lewis is like, he's like, who is that? And the guy's like, Franz Tost, team principal of AlphaTauri. And Lewis is like, right. Like, he just gave that energy of like, okay.
He kind of like shook his head like.
But it made me look up. I'm like, so, because I was curious. I'm like, Franz Tost believes driver salary should be capped at $10 million. How much are the AlphaTauri drivers making?
Yeah, and how much is he making? How much is the team? Like, what's happening?
And I was shiggity shook at how much they were making. And I would like,
you're
Maya,
scaring me,
for you to guess driver salaries.
Let's do it.
So, driver, first of all, how much do you think Yuki Tsunoda should be making?
Should be making? Bruv. Ooh, that maniacal laugh. Okay, here's what I do know. I do know, like, people like, I'm triangulating here. So, someone like Carlos Sainz, I feel like, makes, like, a cool $12 million or something.
Okay.
So I feel like Yuki should make a little less than that, definitely. I'm going to say 8 or 9 million. Is that evil?
Do you want to know how much he makes?
Yes.
He makes 750,000.
Yuki Tsunoda? Are you serious?
First of all, it's a joke that we're laughing at these people's salaries because
we make no money.
We make no money.
I don't know if you can tell by how things are going here, but
I don't think I would even risk my life for that because you can make that working at a bank, bro. You can literally make that working at a bank.
Wow.
And
I'm
not spending
spry.
Your whole life.
I mean, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money, but for a driver, for someone in this like world, it's not a lot of money at all.
To be driving towards a cement wall at 200 miles per hour?
It's not enough. Fudge.
It's not enough. It's not enough.
Wow, that sucks. Okay, give me another.
Okay.
Dang.
How much do you think that Sergio Perez should make?
Ooh, that's good. I think he should make a lot. I'm team Sergio Perez needs more recognition as a driver.
Uh-huh.
And just as a driver.
And he's very experienced.
And on Red Bull. Yeah, he is. And he's seasoned. One of the top teams. I know Max made some crazy deal, like $50 million or something for a crazy contract. He should make, I don't know, like, and I know he's going to make less than this, but he should make like $17 million, $20 million. How much does he make?
Reportedly. These are all reportedly.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
But go ahead.
Reportedly, Sergio Perez, Checo, my man Checo, makes $8
million. What? Nah, this is telling me my numbers are off, bro.
There is a huge pay disparity between drivers.
There are.
I'm kind of shocked at how
And a lot
high
of it comes from, not a lot of it, but like you'll see that in how certain teams just have more money to give, like a Mercedes versus a Haas versus a Alpine. But sometimes, I don't know if you've seen an interview with Vanity Fair that Zendaya did, but she was like, that is not my net worth online. She's like, people get it so wrong. So now,
really?
Yeah, like I'm reluctant to trust these numbers that float around online.
Daniel Ricciardo said something.
Yes, he did.
Once.
Vanity Fair. Like... Yeah. Which, by the way, I sent Zaylee this is completely unrelated, but I sent Zaylee this thing about how Daniel Ricciardo went on Trevor Noah's show and McLaren didn't even post about it, which is kind of rude.
McLaren is rumored to be letting Daniel Ricciardo go.
For Oscar Piastri, right? You saw that?
Yeah.
My man's about to be without a seat.
I don't think he's going to be without a seat. While Nicholas Latifi is in this sport, they're not going to let Daniel Ricciardo go.
But I also heard that Nicholas Latifi, they're talking about
letting him go.
Yeah. Maybe that's the Oscar Piastri thing.
Yeah, I believe that McLaren is rumored to be going with someone else. Not Oscar. I'm not sure
Why
who,
am I
but
keeping
not Oscar.
I think I've brought him up before because I feel like he's in the world of F1.
But I do believe that Oscar and Albon at Williams would be an amazing pairing.
Mm.
I have a whole silly season thing worked out.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Like, I have kind of sketched out like what happens when we lose Latifi, which is something that I for sure think is coming and should come. And then
I'd be sad to see Daniel without a seat, personally.
They can. They can't. But speaking of Danny Rick, how much do you think he should be making?
$13 million.
He makes 15. So that's pretty, that's a good.
That's the best so far.
That's the best so far. What about George Russell? George Russell at Mercedes.
$4 million.
Okay. Five.
You're
getting better at this. I'm kind of shocked because I guess we're coming at this from a different perspective. These drivers are individual and they are responsible for their own stardom and how much their worth is. Whereas I would assume I'm going to Mercedes. Y'all have the money. Like, you know how you're going to a new job, you're going to a huge firm, you just don't expect them to lowball you?
No.
Especially relative to your teammates.
To what someone else is making, yeah.
But I guess for George Russell, that's a good amount of money.
Yeah, it is. Williams. And I wonder, they're factoring in his race experience and... But it does, because the spectrum is so wide or whatever, yeah. I'm like, there kind of feels like there could be room for negotiation. I was always curious, like, do they have their own lawyers in this process being like, no, we need him to get him $3 million more or whatever. That'd be cool to know about.
I mean, certainly they have their lawyers.
I mean, I know there was that interview with Martin Brundle and Lewis and Toto where they were like, we talk about it over pizza.
But then the lawyers come in.
I know. And dot the I's and cross the T's. Come on now. Yeah. Come on now.
All right. Do you want to guess any more or are you done with this?
Let's do one more.
All right. How much do you think Fernando Alonso is making?
Ooh, that's a really hard one. And I'll tell you why.
Why is it hard?
Because I feel like he's mid right now. But
really?
I think
this season he has been so strong. He just keeps crashing. But he like almost made it on pole.
I'm thinking about how they usually place in the entire grid, not so much his individual performance. Yeah. But yes, he has been doing better this season.
Yeah.
But I'm saying like he's not in his glory days of fighting with Lewis Hamilton and whatever.
No.
Even though they were on the same team. Right?
Yeah.
So that, I don't know. So maybe like 18 million.
20.
Okay.
20 million.
Okay, I'm proud.
Yeah, and to be fair, all of these contracts, I think that these numbers are probably base salaries, and then all the books get cooked. We talked about earlier this season, you were talking about salaries and how like they can unlock new monies based on performance. So if Fernando Alonso had made it to pole, he probably has like a bonus
in his contract.
A couple $100,000 for doing that or for laps led. Because it says here that reportedly Max Verstappen is making $43 million until 2028. But we've heard obviously bigger numbers of like 55.
Yeah.
So I bet that there's that space that the room comes from the bonuses that are built into their contracts between 43 and 55. There's probably $12 million of like wiggle room and extra things he can do for the team. And performance things that he can do to make more money.
That's so interesting.
It is. I wish they would build that into my contract. That would be so incentivized.
No, and it's also like the small bonuses. It'd be like random stuff. Like just small achievable things would be so amazing in your everyday life. Like you could get $30,000 more if you organize the Christmas party. I don't know.
Yeah. I went to Stern, which is a business school. It's NYU's business school. And I remember in one economics class, there was a calculation that we had to learn or just someone's theory about salaries and about like, is it better to pay people? You could basically optimize and be like, is it better to pay someone less and incentivize more work? Or is it better to pay someone a higher base salary? And I can't remember. No, it would like be based on the things that they were, the utilities and blah, 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 whatever they were giving us. But you could sit there. Someone had worked out a way to sit there and calculate that based on different things.
I'm saying I would rather be paid a higher base salary.
Oh, you.
That's
why
I said B. B is an option B.
Oh. All right. Well, that's our episode. I don't know how y'all feel about that. Next week is Miami, though. Ew.
Super exciting stuff. I'm ready to see the drivers in the States. That's like always a weird, fun thing to watch. Subscribe to Wheel Pod wherever you get your podcasts. Like, leave a comment, send it to us, text me, text Zaylee.
Yeah, leave a review.
follow us on TikTok at
WheelToWheelPod. Instagram.
And then maybe YouTube,
Yes, all the things. DM us. Maya last week was like, how come we don't get DMs on TikTok, bro?
I hate, that matters to me. Okay, thanks for listening, guys. See you next week in Miami, and have a good week. Bye.